We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hanging out on a Tuesday night until 8 o'clock. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. Thanks to Mike Farron for joining us. Josh Donaldson, four-year, $92 million deal with the Twins. That happened about 20 minutes ago. Also, Alex Cora and the Red Sox part ways. He was, of course, part of the Astros scandal. More baseball coming up in a bit. But time to talk a little hockey as we welcome in Joey Vitale, Blues radio analyst. Blues 4-0 on their five-game homestand, red-hot at Enterprise Center. And I'm talking about the broadcasters. The play on the ice hasn't been that bad either. Hey, Joey.
Get it? Because you're a great broadcaster. Yeah. What's up, man?
I see what you did there, Bridge. And I missed that out of you. No, I'm doing really well, man. You know, it's been a great season again here for the Blues. Really, there was no transition from how they finished off last year on KMOX, won the Stanley Cup. And the only big transition this year for us has been switching over. We miss everyone at KMOX, but the Blues are certainly bringing the fans to their feet this season along, and it's just been a lot of fun. Fun team to watch right now. It's a great time to be a Blues fan.
It's pretty remarkable, Joey, because as you just kind of alluded to, they go from winning the Cup to then taking on the summer of celebrations and even into the year, all sorts of events and receptions and whatnot. And, you know, they've got a target on their back everywhere they go. They seem to be playing better and better, though, as that target, that spotlight gets bigger. It started at this time last year. How is that possible?
You know, Braves, I think this is just something, the characteristic trait of this team, you know, and it started last year when they went through that dreadfully crazy long road trip throughout January, February, and early March. You know, they found their game on the road in that little month and a half, 2 months right there where we were just grinding away on the road. And for whatever reason, since then, the Blues have just re-identified what makes them successful. They really simplified their game. They started getting a great save throughout that stretch of last season. And from there, it just has snowballed to a great success of this team, where you go into some of these buildings and you're up against the wall against some of the best teams. And this Blues team just continues to thrive, I think, from these adverse situations where a lot of teams would kind of buckle and fold in the towel. And this team just continues to thrive. They're getting a save when they need it. This team is built around veteran guys who want to play a team system. And, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, who the Blues just finished off beating a couple days ago in the New York Rangers, I think he said it best. You know, he made comments after the game. He goes, "I was just so impressed by how this Blues team plays. They play so patient, and they never beat themselves." That was the two things that really stood out. And if you go on social media, you could probably find it, but it's a good paragraph-long comment from a future Hall of Famer and the goaltender in the New York Rangers there. But the fact that the Blues are so patient and they don't beat themselves, they just outpatient teams, and teams just cannot hang on to that. They have the four lines. They have the best defensive core in the National Hockey League. Even Travis Green, the head coach for the Vancouver Canucks a couple months ago, we were in Vancouver, and these are comments directly from coaches in the National Hockey League talking about the great group of D they have on the back end. And we all know Jordan Binnington's obviously no fluke up to this point. He's continued to be successful, and they've been pretty injury-free aside from Vladimir Tarasenko. So just so many different things have gone into the success so far this year for the Blues.
You know, it's remarkable because when Vladdy first went down, I think a lot of folks were thinking about the long-term IR ramifications and if he'd be out till the playoffs, you could add, and what would that look like? Thinking about the Blackhawks a couple of years ago when Kane hit long-term IR and they made all those additions. But at this point, like, you know, you could add some depth, but you're rolling right along without him, which affords you the flexibility of, you know, keeping your powder dry because you didn't have to go out and get scoring. And then maybe being a little more flexible with Vladdy's timetable, right?
It really is crazy. I mean, when you think of timing, or you think of just maybe luck or the hockey gods or whatever, I mean, standing right here today, it really seems like a perfect situation from a timing standpoint, assuming Vladdy does come back and he's okay for the playoffs. Because like you mentioned, with him being on the IR, you could add some pieces now at the deadline. I mean, let's just take a look at Chris Kreider, for example. He's a very popular UFA this summer. He's playing for the New York Rangers, a team. It doesn't look like they're going to make that playoff push this year. They're going to continue maybe in rebuild mode. And so Chris Kreider is a left winger that, to me, would fit in terrifically with maybe, let's say, Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron. He's a pure scorer. He's a 40 to 50 point a year guy. He's a 20 goal scorer at least per year. And he's a player that's gone deep in the playoffs all the way to the finals one year for the New York Rangers. So he's proven to be successful in the playoffs as well. Now, if the Blues go after a player like that, for example, maybe you insert him there on that second line. And then who knows, maybe 91's ready there in that first round or second round, and talk about a revamp of energy. You know, a lot of people are thinking, why mess with the routine? Why mess with the chemistry of this group? I mean, that's hogwash to me, Chris, because when you have Vladimir Tarasenko, I mean, this is a pure goal scorer in the National Hockey League. And over the last 10 years, he's right behind Alex Ovechkin as far as the most 5-on-5 goals. I mean, those are incredible numbers with some incredible names. So Vladdy will only help you. He was a warrior, especially in that San Jose series and throughout the series in Boston. He's a playoff guy. He's proven it last year. He is going to do nothing but help this team. So if he can get back, he would be such an important piece. So from all that timing standpoint, you look at it with the pieces that could be added at the deadline, you still get Vladdy back, Sammy Blaze around the corner from returning as well. I think we're going to see Colton Parayko tomorrow night. I was at practice today. He's starting to skate again, and he looks like he's ready to play in the game tomorrow night against the Flyers. So health-wise, knock on wood, it's been very favorable for the Blues, and we will see how this thing winds into the All-Star break and obviously the trade deadline, but I would not be surprised to see Doug Armstrong make a move or two.
Joey Vitale with us, Blues and Flyers tomorrow night. Why do guys like playing for Craig Berube so much, and how is he always seemingly able to push the right buttons, Joey, whether it's a veteran guy, a young guy? He seems to have the trust of his players with all the decisions that he makes.
You know, I think his message is simple. You know, I've been in locker rooms, Chris, where, you know, the coaches have 8 whiteboards full of information. You have a power play board, a penalty kill board. You have a 5-on-5 board. You have tendencies. You have face-off plays. And I remember going to those locker rooms, and, God, it was so confusing. It was so congested. And us as hockey players, I mean, we like things to be simple. We're not the most brilliant minds in the world. Well, Craig Berube, he boils the game down always to a few keys. He keeps it very simple, and he keeps it very basic, and he keeps everything within the control of the player. He doesn't ask you to go out there and toe drag and make some terrific plays and look like Connor McDavid. You don't need to do that. He only asks that you guys work. He asks you to play aggressive, and he asks that you take care of the puck. I mean, if you're a player and you see a coach ask you that, it's very basic, it's very simple, and players love that approach. They go out there, they play hard, they play aggressive, they take care of the puck, they don't turn the puck over the blue lines, and they make sure they get the puck out every blue line. You don't put your team in a bad spot. Now, if you don't do that, well, this is what happens. Jacob DeLaRose, he slipped up for 2 games. He's out of the lineup. You look at different players like Carl Gunnarsson at times. You don't play hard, you're going to be out of the lineup. Sammy Blay has had to deal with this. Mackenzie McEachran last year, he slipped up for about a week there in March. He never got back in during the regular season, and he never played one playoff game. So that is the tone set by this coach. We're going to keep you accountable. This is what I ask. This is what I demand. Either you can do it, and you're going to stay in, and you're going to be successful under this team, or you're not, and you're going to be out. This is a team that's now, to me at least, taking on the Patriot way. We all know that team from up in New England, where the New England Patriots have so much success, and every player that wants to be a part of it, whether from the minors or trades, you just want to be a part of that winning culture. The Blues have created that winning culture, and that's why you're seeing players come up from the American League and are just doing everything that's asked of them and then some, because you put all your individual stuff aside. You just want to be a part of this winning team. And so far to me, Chris, this is why Craig Berube has had so much success with this group.
Obviously, Jordan Binnington's been great. Jake Allen, statistically, has been even a bit better in, albeit about half the games. He's put together some really, really impressive performances lately, Joey, especially seeing just a ton of shots. He's been a pretty incredible, really, since I guess the middle of November. What have you seen from Jake, and what have you seen from both guys that allows the Blues to use both of them the way that they have? And, you know, Jordan Binnington, a guy who was the story around the NHL last year, imagine there has to be some degree of, you know, him buying into this, Jake buying into this, to make sure that this works, because I don't know where they'd be without both of them.
You're right, Chris. And to me, this is what's made the Boston Bruins so successful. It's what made the Washington Capitals very successful with Grubauer and Holtby when they won the Cup. Last year, Tukarask, and you have Halak. I think successful teams from the goaltending position, at least from what I've found, they're successful because they have two really good goalies, and they push each other on a daily basis. You mentioned what's changed with Jake. To me, I think his style has changed. And from watching him this year, it's almost like he's evolved to more of the style of Jordan Binnington. And it's kind of cool to see a veteran who's been around the league and is climbing the charts with a lot of these Blues greats of Curtis Joseph and Liut and stuff. For players, for goaltenders like that to continue to adapt, especially from a young goaltender like Jordan Binnington, is pretty phenomenal. But I'll give you an example. Like Jake Allen, his glove is more out there. You should kind of tuck it in my opinion. Darren Pang and I talk about this. Last year, I think his glove side was tucked a lot, almost where his left armpit was pinched. Now he's more free. He's reaching his glove out. It's almost identical to what Binnington does. His shuffling's been great. His depth has been great. There were phases last year where Jake Allen was kind of swimming in the crease. He's under control. He's composed, and he's making that save right now for the St. Louis Blues, and that just gives this team so much confidence knowing that they have not only one, but they have a great backup as well, a great 1-2 punch, maybe one of the best in the National Hockey League right now.
Got to imagine if he hasn't already, Doug Armstrong will be getting calls on Jake, don't you think?
I think so. And, you know, that's going to be an interesting decision because, you know, you're looking at a goaltender who coming into last night's game had a 924 save percentage as a backup who's winning a lot of games for your team. He's playing great, but aside from the hockey, there is a intangible personality trait what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a guy who's great in the room. Chris, we were coming back from Western Canada earlier this year, and it was right after Jake Allen won a game. I think maybe it was Vancouver, maybe Edmonton. And we were going from Edmonton, I think, to Winnipeg, and the plane ride was great. You know, guys were having some fun on the plane ride, having some drinks after the game, as they usually do. And they're just singing this Alanis Morissette, but they're filling in the Alanis Morissette words with Jake Allen. And I can't exactly remember the song, but this is a well-loved player on this team. So well-respected. He's been around. Everyone just adores how he handled himself throughout that playoff run last year. Well, frankly, from January on from last year, I mean, Jordan Binnington comes up with a pretty big ego hit for Jake Allen. And the way he handled it, the way he just made it about the team, he put his selfish stuff aside, he put his ego aside. This is a goaltender that the players love. They love having him around. It'd be an interesting one. I think everyone's still on the table, always is. But there is something so special, I think, about having 34 in that locker room. And I think he adds so much to that team's success.
Joey Vitale, how excited are you for the All-Star festivities next weekend?
Listen,
and
man,
how excited are you for a break? Are you going to be around, or are you going to be out of town? What?
You know what? My wife is like 7 weeks away from giving birth.
Yep.
So I couldn't go anywhere this year. I'm still yesterday with the Blues, which is great because it's cool opportunities coming my way. And I'll be emceeing some events on Friday and Saturday and doing some really fun things down there. I'm going to bring my kids, hopefully, to the skills competition. And it's going to be great. I mean, I tell you what, the city deserves it. As I mentioned before, Chris, when we first had this conversation, it's just what a wonderful time to be a St. Louis Blues fan. You win the Cup last year. You have five representatives heading into the All-Star game in your hometown of St. Louis. Enterprise Center just did all those renovations. Craig Berube is going to be the coach. I mean, David Perron gets voted in the hall. And it's just the activities down at Union Station, the game itself. Hopefully we get decent weather for some outdoor activities that are going to be playing. A lot of alumni, Wayne Gretzky, Bud Hall. I mean, so many great names across the league are going to be here. It's just going to be a conglomerate of just hockey, and any hockey nut or even fan, even not fan of the game for that matter,
is going to have a wonderful time next weekend here in St. Louis.
I cannot wait. Joey Vitale, you're the best.
Dude.
Appreciate
don't
you
say that.
Dude.
I only learn from you, man. I only learn from you, Chris.
Bro. We got to get together soon. I'll see you next weekend. I'll see you out and about next weekend.
Yeah, I'll be around. Yeah, I'm doing some. I got to speak. So, yeah, when you see me, give me a holler.
How many NHL A-listers are you going to be hitting the town with?
You know what? I think Biz is coming. We're going to get together for a couple dinners, maybe.
You're the most popular guy on their podcast. They'll probably make you, like, do five podcasts.
I know. Yeah, I might start pacing myself a little bit on these.
All right, well, I'm available.
You got it, Chris.
Thanks, bud.
All right, brother. You got it. Bye.
Joey Vitale, the greatest. Blues just keep rolling. We'll take a break. Tim Convy going to slide in next. Our Tuesday chats with Tim, and we'll keep you posted on the baseball news. Donaldson to the Twins. Alex Cora out. Sports Up Line on a Tuesday night. Back in a moment on KMOX.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. The voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tim Convy with us for another edition of whatever we call our Tuesday visits. We got bumped last week from Tuesday.
I know.
Lots of complaints, but there was stuff going on in the world.
There was important things.
Conversations.
Oh, that's pretty good. I've not used that yet. I like that.
We'll add it to the working list.
Conversations. I'm into it.
Is that a Blue Note sweatshirt from the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri?
It is.
Great venue.
I went to school down there and worked there at the Blue Note. And then I got to go back.
Nice.
My band played a few times. And then I just, I don't know, 6 months ago, got to do a comedy show down there, which was a big deal for me because that place informed
great room.
My life in so many different ways, because working there, you were there for all the shows. So, you know, you saw bands I wouldn't otherwise have seen, all kinds of different music. I saw the shows there. And yeah, it was so cool. Such a great room.
I saw such a wide spectrum of musical acts at the Blue Note.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Everyone from the bands you would expect there, like Guster, Howie Day, Modest Mouse, mm-hmm. DMX.
Oh, wow, at the Blue Note.
At the Blue Note. This was summer after my junior year when I was in Columbia. So, yeah, summer of 2007. And DMX performed. We thought it would be hilarious to go. He got about two or three songs in, and then the show ended. He climbed up onto a speaker tower, or climbed up onto the giant speakers on the side of the stage, and was dumping like a bottle of something on himself and barking like a dog on all fours.
Wow.
And the show ended.
So how far into it?
Probably like three songs.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, like 15, 20 minutes.
Were people mad, or they just pumped they saw
DMX do
that?
No, I think like that was kind of the authentic experience. I think tickets were like $5. This was like DMX was very much
overall,
you know, kind of an afterthought then, but yeah.
Because at that point, you're going for the story, and if he's delivered the story in less than four songs, that's good enough.
That was all I needed. That was a perfect resolution.
Yeah.
My fraternity had a concert for our charity event across the street at the Blue Fugue, and we hired Afro Man to come and perform.
Oh, yeah.
And he drove his RV. He was with his wife and his son, who were his, like, backing band. I had to go onto the RV to present him with the check. Actually, this is great. His rider, he wanted a bunch of random stuff, and then we paid him like $2,000 for the show. He wanted half in a cashier's check and the other half in $10 bills.
Fantastic.
This is a true story. So,
I love that. Yeah, that's
Columbia, Missouri. Shout out.
When I was at the Blue Note, when I started there, I was filling riders too. Same thing, where you'd have to get them the exact right kind of peanut butter. I was dropping off bands' laundry, the different artists that were playing, all that stuff.
What's the best show you saw at the Blue Note?
Ryan Adams.
Nice.
It was a free show. It was before, you know, it was when he was just kind of starting to happen, and he was doing free shows. And he did it, and it was sold out, and it was just, you know, the Ryan Adams we look at now is this cranky, curmudgeonly, but this guy was just on the brink of being huge and sort of his dreams coming true, and he was a very happy, positive, and obviously incredibly talented artist, and yeah, it was amazing.
Absolutely. One of my, just love him.
What fraternity were you in that threw that show?
Phi Kappa Psi.
Okay. Love it. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Like every fraternity and sorority, you have to do a philanthropy. You know, you raise money. We didn't want to do like a flag football tournament. So we said, what if we have a concert? And they said, okay. And there are like websites where you can look at artists and you can book them and varying degrees of cost. And I think it came down, we thought it would be hilarious. I think it came down to Afro Man and Coolio because they were both in our budget.
Right.
But Afro Man was great.
Do you look back and wish you went Coolio ever?
No, Afro Man was unbelievable.
Okay, good.
So many stories from that. He could not have been cooler. It was better than my wildest dream, better than anything I could have expected.
Really?
It was unbelievable.
Wow. One of the most magical nights of your college
experience.
Great
night. Wow. And just so random and so hilarious. He was great. It was incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah. So many great shows down there. It's I miss it. I miss it all the time.
What's going on in your world aside from Columbia and the Blue Note?
All kinds of things.
We've stopped saying Happy New Year. We're through the New Year.
Well, we've seen each other, but I'm still saying it to people.
Really?
There are people that I know that I'll see this evening, and I will in fact say it to them. And
it's only the 14th. We're not even halfway through January.
Totally agree. Like I said, I'm getting away with it in February, so I'm not worried about that. I'm good. I'm going. Did we talk about this? I'm going to Australia in like a week and a half. So the conversations will be on hold for a little
bit. Nice.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But you may have heard there's some fires going on over there.
Yes. Yes. Nice.
So I'm going to see friends and stuff, but you feel a little bit weird, like, oh, I'm over on vacation and it's, you know, they're going through some seriously bad stuff over there.
I saw on I think ESPN that they're getting ready for the Australian Open, so a lot of the best tennis players in the world are playing various tournaments in Australia. They're in Adelaide, they're in Melbourne, they're all over the place. And I guess the air has been an issue for a lot of these athletes.
A lot of them are, I've read a long thing with Djokovic, like they're doing all kinds of stuff to try to fit. Yeah, I'm going to the men's finals.
You're going to the Australian Open?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm excited.
So tell me about this trip. How did it come about? How long are you going? How long have you been planning it?
It's a long story. It's not that interesting. But basically, I've been planning it for probably 2.5 months or something. And I have friends over there who are radio guys. The big radio show over in Australia and then kind of a TV show as well. And they can do things like go to the Australian Open. So
that
I was like, I got to go over and figure that out. And then going to go to New Zealand for a little bit too. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So got that going on, getting ready. And then
it's quite the flight.
15 hours.
Do you go to, that's it?
Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that.
Well, I fly to San Francisco.
Oh, I was going to say, or LA or San, okay, and then fly from there.
15 from San Francisco. So I've got, but I'm hoping to catch up on all the, you know, binge watching that I haven't been doing. I got a long list of things.
What you got?
I should take it out. I've got streaming things that like pass me somehow. So like a lot of the HBO stuff, Succession, I've not gotten on board for. Glow.
Succession's unbelievable. Did it over the holidays with my siblings at home.
Glow on Netflix. I watched the first season and didn't do any more than that. I feel like I want to watch. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. I want to watch. Peaky Blinders. People talk to me about nonstop and I feel like I got to get on board for. So.
Because then you can talk like this.
I don't even know. I hear that it's. I hear it's like heavy accents, which normally I don't go for. But this one, I'm going to give it a shot.
So I was very resistant to this, but one of my brothers swears by it, and I am now a full convert. Got to go subtitles.
On Peaky Blinders?
I go subtitles on basically everything now.
Even regular old set in the Midwest
not
shows.
If it's like The Office or Parks, but like any like drama or anything you really need to pay attention to.
Really?
Like anything with a bunch of names. I find that at the beginning of a show, like Succession, it helps me with the names. Peaky Blinders, you can't like understand what they're saying sometimes.
I hear
it. And I was very resistant at first. I thought it would be distracting. No, it actually makes me focus more because I'm locked in.
If I'm watching that stuff at somebody else's house and they've got that, I ask them to turn it off.
Why?
Can't do it. I don't know. And a lot of people did it for Game of Thrones because you got some strong accents. You definitely have a lot of characters. I don't know. Because I end up missing the action. I end up missing the picture that I feel the filmmakers wanted me to see.
Well, you have control of your eyes, right?
Not really. I have horrible ADD. So I
try it with Peaky Blinders.
All right. It makes sense. It makes sense with that one. I will, that I will do. I promise you that. And I'll report back.
Turn subtitles on in Australia.
That
so
makes
you can
sense.
Understand the folks talking.
And they've got the heavy. That makes sense for that one.
You like a Foster's?
I can't do it.
It's what
Where
they drink,
Where is it even
right?
set? Is it English?
Or
is it
Peaky Irish? Blinders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scotland?
No, it's in Great Britain, I believe. Well, that
okay.
would be part of. I believe it's England. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm jumping in.
Yeah.
And then I can't stop thinking about the this Astros stuff. It's got me all worked up. I watched
cheaters,
the whole,
cheaters are no fun.
I watched the whole press conference with Crane yesterday, and it's pretty wild, man. And there's the obvious comparisons, the obvious things that people are bringing up. How is Pete Rose, you know, banned from baseball for life for betting on his own team, and then these guys are cheating? Just it's a very deliberate act. Nobody with a lot of the things we talk about in sports, you can kind of see how an athlete can kid themselves for a minute, right? And I would put even the substance abuse, performance enhancing drugs. I think there, you know, there's kind of a gray area, and one day some of the stuff's legal and some day it's not. They shouldn't do it. It's bad. But can't you see how a guy can talk himself into justifying it?
Yeah, because I think that there is stuff that technically is not banned, or you get it. Maybe there's some degree of negligence or ignorance is bliss where you get
yes.
it from somebody else and
yep.
they mislead you. So you don't actually, via chain of custody, you weren't the one that did the thing that's wrong, and you can convince yourself that it's okay.
Exactly. And typically in baseball, the guys start taking them. Why?
To make the big leagues, and then
they're recovering usually.
Yeah,
usually
well,
it's
to
guys
stay
who
in the lineup, stay healthy.
Yep,
yeah.
They want to recover faster. So
yeah.
I see how these guys. It's a
which when you're sick, sometimes your doctor will literally give you steroid.
Yes,
packs. Yeah,
100%. So I see
again, HGH.
It's not right, but I see how they can talk themselves into it. Every one of those dudes knew that they were cheating. Having a camera shooting these signs is, I mean, there's
oh, yeah.
no you can't
and
you
then
can't justify
figuring
it.
Out how to bang on the. On the can, and the thing that I don't like really get is if you're the manager, AJ Hinch, and again, hard to put ourselves in that situation, but according to the report, like he like broke a bunch of the devices, right? And he like have you not heard this part of it? He like tampered with some of the video setups and essentially like didn't really say anything about it, but kind of like sabotaged what they were doing.
Tried to put an end to it.
Yeah.
Without actually
but
saying
stop doing
this.
But he didn't actually try to put an end to it and didn't take a stand and didn't tell anyone. And I don't know if he didn't want to tick off his team or his GM, but he kind of like in a weird, like almost childish way.
Right.
Like tried to do something about it, but didn't. And then he ended up falling on the sword. And
yep.
Jeff Luhnow as well, and none of the players.
And how do you feel about that? Like, based on knowing what happened, and yes, they're guilty. The first of all, the MLB punishment, fair, what you expected, over the top. What did you think?
I think that the MLB punishment was not over the top. They did take first and second round draft picks in a couple of years, which is unprecedented. $5 million is nothing for a fine. And they handed out the suspensions.
Not much for a fine, but all that they can do under the agreement, which
well,
is crazy. All they can do is $5 million?
All right, here's conspiracy theory, Chris. Do you think the owner of the Astros, Jim Crane, is a St. Louis guy,
mm-hmm.
worked out a deal with baseball and with the commissioner where he said, we'll accept these penalties, you know, not asking for leeway, but essentially saying, I know you can't, so I give you my word and take this into consideration. I will fire both of these guys when the penalties are announced.
But also don't touch my players?
Yeah, well, or just, hey, I know you can only do so much. Just want you to know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
That I will fire these guys even if you can't.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're right. It makes sense that they can't. And I was not surprised at all. You know, we found out what happened and then, oh, here's the press conference. I fully expected him to fire both of them. Did you, or was that a surprise?
I think that it caught people off guard right away because they had the press conference immediately and he just said they're both fired.
Right.
Like,
first sentence.
But the more I think about it, the more it makes sense because he knew it was coming. He didn't just decide at that moment to fire them.
And how do they
probably did their own investigation. They probably worked with baseball. Here's what it said in the report, AJ Hinch attempted to signal his disapproval of the scheme by physically damaging the monitor that players would use on two occasions, necessitating its replacement. However, he admits he did not stop it, and he did not notify anyone that he disapproved of it.
Yeah. Then you're, yeah, I mean, that's...
So, the owner, Jim Crane, must have, you know, been working with baseball and known that this was going to happen and known that this was what he was going to do.
And how do you move on? I mean, I think it's the right decision anyway, because even though, and I think both those guys are obviously good at what they do. The GM and the manager are both sort of superstars, even with when you factor in all that's happened. Still, how do you go in next season with an interim GM?
Right. And, I mean, and he a million questions really, about it.
That's the easiest thing to do. That's what he's going to do
now,
all day long.
And now they can say, listen, they're gone. New regime. And the new guys, especially if they're from outside the organization, can say, we're not a part of that.
Yep.
Let's move forward. And it's not a huge distraction. I mean, the players, like, that's kind of the elephant in the room, right? Like, they're the ones that were doing it.
Pretty bad.
And I think the other thing is how much of a smoke signal to other teams around baseball was this, because how many of them are just one guy leaving and spilling the beans? It was Mike Fiers, a guy who was on the team, mm-hmm. who left and was the whistleblower on this.
Yep.
That's Tim Combi, Chris Raby with you as well. We're hanging out some more on this. Coming up after the break, we'll talk more about the Astros scandal and more with Tim, Sports Open Line on a Tuesday night. Back in a moment on KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX. Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's sports voice, KMOX.
Hanging with Tim Convy, talking baseball here, Tim, on Y98. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Convy, talking about the Astros stuff.
Who's the biggest victim here?
The
Astros
biggest
fans?
Victim here.
The Dodgers? The Yankees?
How about the... I just feel bad for the opposing players that were on the other side of this.
Especially the pitchers.
Like, who knows what this... Like, you could go back and look, and maybe this is too romantic a way of thinking, but you could go back and look during that run. I guarantee you there were guys late in the season or mid-season who maybe got shelled, young guys who then got sent down, or who maybe then had to stay in and mop up in an 8-run game and then had to go back to the minors. Like, that sucks. And you're messing with guys' livelihoods. And that's where I would be pissed if I were the players' union, because we're all in this together, but you are jeopardizing what is supposed to be a level playing field for everyone in this union.
I totally agree. And that you look at the Dodgers, and that's the easy one to point to because it's who they beat in the World Series. And
well, they always choke in the playoffs.
But listen, yeah. I've said this a million times.
I know what you're saying.
Jim Crane coming out and saying...
And it was such a close series, too.
Exactly. Jim Crane coming out and saying, well, it turns out they were so good, I don't even know why they were doing this. It's like, no, man, they were good because they had this. Because you cannot tell me that if in that World Series against the Dodgers or the ALCS that year, that if, let's say, the Dodgers had that advantage and the Astros did not, the Dodgers win the World Series. There's absolutely no question.
Although they had it last year and this year, right?
The Astros?
Yeah,
you would assume so.
So, yeah, but no,
but I'm just saying,
I agree. It didn't hurt them.
I just think that's so significant, being able to regularly tell guys what pitch is coming.
It's going to be breaking ball, yeah. Especially late in games, and some of those games are extra inning games and were epics, and a home run or a big hit decided those games because they were all really, 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 really close.
The ALCS went 7 games, too, with the Yankees. And you look at those two teams, Dodgers and Yankees, and the as much money as they spend and everything else, and both always trying to get there and then making huge changes when they don't, like, that affected a whole lot of people's lives.
Which is why it's so ironic that this year in the World Series, the home team did not win a game.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So what's the equivalent... I mean, in comedy, a big thing is like guys that take jokes or steal jokes. And oftentimes there is a defense of, well, I didn't know, or I must have seen this somewhere. At some point, we're always looking for some bit of plausible deniability, right? But I always find in these cases, even going back like to the steroid guys or joke stealing, whatever, like the people that just say, you know what, I was wrong, I acted like an ass.
Right.
I did this. Forgiveness, please. Everyone just moves on.
Yeah. Yeah, and they and I mean, it'll be very interesting.
This will be different, though, because there are ramifications on the field for a whole team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they won the World Series. I mean, this is a real question.
What would you have done if they beat the Cardinals that year? You would.
Oh, I would be. I'd fly down there. I would be so upset.
Class action lawsuit.
I can't even tell you. Yeah, this city. Yeah, probably. I would be. I'd be furious. I'd be absolutely furious. Yeah, it's such a messed up thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you got me all emotional now. I lost my train of thought completely.
You're fired up. If you're imagining if the Cardinals like got beat because of something then found out.
I was going to ask you this. Let's say that the whole thing, all the videos we've seen and everything else, it's all figured out. But
shout out to those Twitter sleuths, by the way. Those guys are great.
Unbelievable,
yeah.
Right? But let's see, we find all that, but we find it about, like, the Marlins are just a team that doesn't matter. What are we seeing all this same stuff?
Then I think it's like a joke.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the Marlins.
Yeah.
But if they started winning all of a sudden, or if all their guys started, you know.
But it's not this big a deal. I mean, those guys took the trophy. They won the World Series.
I think also because they're, well, within the industry, a lot of things are coming out about the Astros,
yeah,
thinking that they're, you know, God's gift to the baseball world. They seemed to relish the Cardinals getting penalized strictly for one rogue employee doing something that had no consequence on the field.
Right.
And I think a lot of baseball fans, it was like the whole thing. Ben Reeder with Sports Illustrated in like 2012 wrote like a piece, like in 5 years, the Astros will win the World Series. And it was like about them rebuilding. Mm-hmm. It was like, here's how you rebuild and here's how, you know, this club won about it. And now it's these likable young guys and the team is awesome. And now it's like, well, just for baseball fans, like, what if that wasn't real?
Yeah.
They're still really good players, but come on. Like, yep, you said, they had an advantage that others did not have.
Yep, I agree. No, it feels to me like it feels to me like it wasn't real. It'll be interesting to see if AJ Hinch gets another job.
He will.
As a manager? Is his next job in baseball as a manager?
Well, maybe not, but if he waits around a couple of years,
he'll be
absolutely
a bench coach somewhere, yeah.
Or wait around and get a managerial job, and he'll go through the gamut of saying, you know, I served my suspension, I served my time, I've learned that, you know, I should have spoken up about this, and I need to have a better job of controlling the culture of my clubhouse.
It's make me a better manager at the end of the day because I went through that, right?
So,
yeah. And Lou now, no problem, right? He'll be working somewhere.
Yeah, although I wonder if more stuff will come out, you know, especially about the culture of that organization, because there was an issue in the postseason with some female media members, how they were treated by the assistant GM, I believe. So, man, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I wonder, again, especially if there's more fallout and some more people lose their jobs, if more information will come out.
Right. Am I crazy to think this is as bad as other cheating scandals you can think of that compare to this? I mean, because Tom Brady deflating football.
Black Sox scandal?
Yeah, a little before my
no,
time.
No, but like not really.
Tom Brady deflating football isn't anywhere close to this.
Everything else was like officials, like Tim Donaghy in the NBA rigging games, mm-hmm, right? Maybe point shaving like in college basketball, but, you know, again, gray area.
Right.
And I guess you can never really prove it. Pete Rose gambled on his own team.
Right. To me, again,
yeah, like if
you're not lifting that ban,
there's not really anything else like this. Like the NFL, maybe you could like steal hand signals or something, but baseball is kind of the one where you know what's coming. You know, could you imagine if, like, instead of yelling at the line of scrimmage, like a cadence, Tom Brady had to like do a hand signal to his receivers? If you could figure that out,
yeah,
you know, like. This is kind of unprecedented, though.
Yeah.
Everybody else better button their stuff up.
I know.
There are some scared folks around baseball right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how many closed-door meetings are there right now that's like, hey, you know how we kind of did that a little bit? We're not going to do it anymore.
I mean, to some degree, this happens, but
Give me percentage of teams that you think in the last 4 years have had a camera in the outfield. More than the Astros, probably.
I don't want to sound ignorant, so more than half.
Really? That were doing just what they were doing?
If the Astros were doing it so blatantly,
yeah,
so blatantly, like how did the catcher not, like, hear?
I wonder
the guy. How did the umpire not hear?
Thing. The catcher who has it in his. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Like, this has to.
Were they just doing it when they really needed it? Were they just doing it on?
Yeah,
the
I don't
big
think they're
bats?
Doing it every pitch. They,
right, right.
But like, my God.
Or the guys who they know.
I don't want to sound cynical, but like, I don't give anyone the benefit of the doubt.
And
now.
It's crazy that we're only that it didn't come out as because a lot of guys, you know, assuming they've been doing it for several years, a lot of guys have changed the team, move on, this and that, and then that guy is how it all comes out. So will he play? He's not retired.
No, he's still in the big leagues.
Oh,
he's
man, that'll be interesting.
He's on Oakland. Yeah, Tim Convey, Y98 on Twitter at Tim Convey. When are you leaving? Week and a half.
Week and a half.
All right, so we'll get to do this once more next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll be here
next
week. Yeah,
you're the man.
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks to Tim. Thank you to Joey Vitale, Mike Farron as well. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Mike Anderson. My guy here in the KMOX studios going to be live over at Cardinals Nation Restaurant tomorrow night. Cardinals countdown to opening day. John Mozeliak joins us live in the 6 o'clock hour. So come join me and Klabes and Mo tomorrow night. Until then, this has been Sports Open Line. Chris Ferebee saying be nice to each other and as always, peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.